Good morning, everyone. We're going to be reading the scripture this morning, Matthew chapter 3, 13 through 17. Now, it's right in your bulletin, or you can turn in your Bible, Matthew chapter 3, 13 through 17. I'll read the first verse, and you read the verses that are in the bold print. Then come Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John, to be baptized of him.
But John prayed and said, I have need to be baptized with thee, and thou shalt come to me.
And Jesus answered and said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And lo, a voice from heaven, saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Amen. So we're going to have prayer now, and we want to remember our pastor, Brother Reynolds, and those who are traveling with him to sing up in North Carolina and up in West Virginia, I think it is. But we also want to remember Brother Huber, who was found to have cancer. And we want to remember Miss Josette Eaton, who just got out of the hospital, and the families who were shot and killed and wounded in Orlando this morning. If you haven't been watching the news, it was a big massacre there this morning by someone. So we want to remember them in prayer, and then remember each other. We always need to pray for each other. Pray for our church family. Pray for Brother Mark as he brings a message today and tonight. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, that you said, yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, for thou art with us. And Lord, when it's our time to go, to be with you, we'll have the dying grace to go. But Lord, our country's in a mess. Our people are in a mess. We need your help. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And I pray in the name of Jesus, all these requests that are going up at this time, Lord, you will grant it according to your will. Give us mercy. Give us grace. Give us love for each other. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Well, let's stand as we take our hymn books, turn to hymn number 17, Our Great Savior, hymn number 17. can't sing a couple of verses. So on the fourth now. Jesus Christ. Forsake thee. God bless you. You may be seated. Good singing this morning. Welcome and thank you for coming to Volusia County Baptist Church today. If you're visiting here, you're our honored guest. Please make yourself at home. And in the bulletin, hopefully you received one on the way in. There's a little flap there. And while you're seated, if you take a moment and fill out the little guest information there for us. And we would love to meet with you after the service right through those back doors back there. We have a reception area set up, and we'll give you some refreshments and also a gift card that we give to our visitors. If we let that be known a lot, we might actually, have folks just coming just to get the gift card. I don't know. But we do appreciate you coming, and thank you. You're our special guests. We'd love to meet you during the handshake time. And Pastor, as Brother Jim had mentioned, Pastor and Brother Aaron and our young people and some of the adults are there with them on Voices of Victory tour. And he was good and kind enough to allow his wife to stay behind. And so we're glad to have her on the piano playing a special listen as she plays a beautiful song called Whispering Hope. Thank you.
you. Thank you. Beautiful. Thank you so very much. Marvelously done. Well, and this and that song kind of flows right into this. This is a note. This goes out to all of our church family. We would like to say thank you for all the prayers, support, and everything you've done to help us through the difficult time of the passing of my brother. With love, blessings to all. This is from Kathy and Dave Wyman and the passing of her brother. And so appreciate so very much your thoughts and prayers for her and all the family. Well, glad to have you here. We have an exciting summer coming up. It's really cranking up quickly. Seems like the June is just packed with things leading up to God and Country Day, and then it just keeps on going after that. Of course, next Sunday is Father's Day. And I'm excited about Father's Day. I want it to be tomorrow. But make sure and don't miss next Sunday. If you're a dad, we have a special gift for every man in attendance, as well as recognizing some special dads in our midst. And so that'll be next Sunday morning. Next Sunday evening, Voices of Victory or have a concert, and we'll hear more about their tour, and we're looking forward to that. The Pine Card Derby is the 25th on Saturday. And so I hope that you are taking part in that or looking forward to coming. That is held in the Activities Building, and it's an exciting time. They have all the sound effects and the scoreboard and everything. It's a big event. Trophies are awarded, and there's some heated competition. You would think it's amongst the children, but it really gets hot amongst the teenagers and the adults. And we have some really excellent cars that race, and so that'll be a wonderful time. God and Country Day, of course, is the 3rd, on Sunday the 3rd. Looking forward to all that's in store for us there. We'll have a place there set up for military memorabilia, if you want to bring that. And a marvelous time on the following day, on Monday evening, starting at 6 o'clock, 6 to 9 o'clock, be having a time of fellowship and activities for food and fireworks and they call the inflatable ball soccer. And you kind of get in this tube and you play soccer, but if you run into somebody, you just bounce off. Wouldn't that be great if we just did that spiritually, just run into somebody, just bounce off, you know, and no harm, no foul. But we have, it'd be a marvelous thing to be involved in. I'm not sure if I'm going to do it or not. Pastor already said no, that he wasn't, but I might do it just for the experience. And so bring a camera, amen. But get involved with it or sit along the side and have a good time. We'll have hot dogs and all that kind of stuff that goes with that. So we encourage you to enjoy that if you don't have other plans on the 4th. Also, in your bulletin is an insert about Vacation Bible School. And this will be on July 11th through the 14th. We need to go ahead and pre-register the children as much as possible. It will help to get things going. So moms, dads, if you'd be so kind as to stop by the table back there. Also, if you would like to help in Vacation Bible School, please also stop by the table right through the double doors back there. You'll see the workers at the table, and they can help you with that. But the sign-up form's on the back. You can go ahead and fill that out, and that'll be marvelous. And then the other insert there is about the Scribe live stream event. And this will be on August the 27th. It's on Saturday evening and at 7 o'clock, Saturday evening, 7 o'clock. And we're encouraging our people on that evening, on Saturday evening, not to come in necessarily to the church service, but rather to open up your home and to live stream it in for neighbors, friends, co-workers, family members, focusing and targeting those that perhaps do not know Christ as their Savior. And they may come to your house for a barbecue, hot dogs, or dessert, or something that you offer, and then sit down and watch for an hour a special live presentation. Other churches are doing this across the nation and around the world. Other denominations have called and said, can we also get in on this and watch this? Can we invite our people to do the same thing at their house? And so we're encouraged that this has an outreach way beyond our walls. Now, there's some things on here. In order to live stream, some of you already have it hooked up to your television at home. And so you've got the big screen. When pastor's up there, you're on a front row seat. You know, you don't have to watch it on a little phone or a little iPad or a little computer. You've got it on your TV already. Some of you might say, you know, I'd love to do what you're talking about, but we don't have it connected. I don't have live streams set up yet at my house. I should be able to, but I just haven't done it yet. And I'd like to have it connected to my TV. What's involved? I'd love to have an outreach like you're talking about, but I don't know first thing of what to do electronically. Well, we have a guy in our church, Brother Robert Shaw. He has usually been down here in the orchestra playing the bass. He's back now in the sound booth. And that was that big bass, string bass that he would play specials and play over here, that belonged to the school system. And as long as he was in high school, they let him borrow that and bring it to church and play. Well, he has been offered a college scholarship, and he's accepted to go to Stetson University on a music scholarship on that bass. And there's only one problem with it. He doesn't have a bass. He has to buy one, and it's terribly expensive. So, I was talking with Pastor, and Pastor had a great idea. He said, why not? Here's a guy who is a one of those techno-genius guys, and why not allow him to set up an appointment, you can set up an appointment with him, to come in and help connect everything. And if you want to give an offering to you can give it through the church if you want, but if you want to give an offering towards that base, that's why he's doing this, and he can set this up for you for the ministry purpose of the scribe, and then perhaps you give a love offering towards that. That'll all be tabulated and calculated and counted and all that kind of thing, and towards going to his base. And we're going to help a little bit with his gas. And there's a list here of things that you would have to have. It's all on the flyer here. And but it's not difficult. It's not complicated. And it would be a great outreach. So we'll say more about this in coming weeks. But there's a phone number down here. And Daniel Rogers is going to be his agent, you might say. Daniel Rogers is going to be coordinating the appointments. So you can reach him at his cell phone anytime, night or day, 2 o'clock in the morning. You can just call Daniel Rogers. And his number's on here for everyone now. So and he'll be glad to set that up for Robert, and they will get this set up this summer for you. August 27th, it'll be here before you know it, and that'll be great. Well, let's take our hymn books again, turn to page 572. Let's stand and sing Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine.
This is my song. Reaching my soul.
That's a great song to sing, Blessed Assurance. No matter what happens in our life, no matter what happens in the world, we have the assurance that He's in control. Ushers, come on down, please, if you will. Brother Jordan Webster, come lead us in prayer, if you would, sir. Good to have you all back. And little one we saw last week, that's wonderful. Blessing. I'm thankful for our young couples, and we're praising God for what He's doing in our families and our homes here. Blessed assurance. God bless you, Brother Jordan. Come lead us in prayer, please, as we give to the Lord.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You so much for the opportunity to worship You in freedom. Lord, we pray that You would have mercy on our country, that You would have mercy on us as Your people. We pray, Lord, that our hearts would be open to what You would have to say to us. Lord, that You would be honored in everything that we do and think and say. Lord, we pray that we would be, that Your light would shine out of our lives into the world. Father, we pray that You would use our tithes and our offerings to reach the world. Yes. Lord, we pray that Your name would be glorified. We pray for the Voices of Victory, that You would bless their tour, keep them safe. Lord, that they would be empowered by You. We just thank You for Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gives us life and joy and peace. And it's in His precious name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
In your bulletin, you're going to find the chorus there, "Thou art worthy to receive glory and honor and strength," about our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, when He brings peace in the midst of our storm, He rides in our vessel. It just brings a heart of praise unto the Lord. Thank You for what You've done. Thou art worthy. Let's stand, would you please? Let's sing this chorus of praise unto the Lord. Here we go now. Shake somebody's hand you don't know. Amen. As the choir comes down, fellowship one with another. Amen. Scripture that we read will be the text that we're looking at that God's leading us to this morning, and so I invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 3 if you want to. Go ahead and get in place there. Randy Kuhn is going to come and sing. Listen as she sings, "The Power of the Cross." God bless you, Randy.
Christ on the road to Calvary. Now the ground beneath quakes as his maker bows his head, curtain torn in two, dead are raised to life. Finish the victory cry. This the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us, took the blame, bore the wrath we stand forgiven at the cross. Oh, to see my name written in the wounds, for through your suffering I am free. Death is crushed to death, life is mine to live. Won through your selfless love, this the power of the cross. Son of God, slain for us. What a love, what a cost. We stand forgiven the cross.
Okay, there we go. Thank you, Randy, so very, very much. That was beautiful. Great message. He became sin for us. I hope you got that out of that song. He took on our sin, and then he died with our sin on him. He paid our debt there at the cross. Thank you so very much. Matthew chapter 3. Well, I hope that you were in Sunday school this morning. If you're not in Sunday school, you miss on a great opportunity for studying the Word of God, fellowshipping with the people of God. And I encourage you to come at 9 o'clock, be in Sunday school. Don't shortchange yourself. Don't gyp yourself. And there'll be all kinds of things that you will take away from that. We did something that we've never done in the auditorium class, and I don't know how successful it was. We divided up into workshops of about 10 or 15 people and had someone leading discussions for about 15 minutes of our Sunday school time in preparation for something we're studying in the next 3 weeks. But I'll tell you this much. Nobody went to sleep this morning in Sunday school. I mean, they were all right there engaged. So just that fact was a success. And so that's marvelous. And so if you need to catch up on your rest now, then I encourage you to get the notes from someone else. And but I'm so glad to see you here in God's house. And this thought of the great inauguration, I began reading about different inaugurations of the United States of America, the presidents and things that interesting things that happened, and I won't share some of them, but it's probably not as appropriate to share some of those things. But I found it very interesting that Lyndon Johnson, I was reading this. I don't remember anyone telling me this. I don't know. Perhaps they contained it before it became a public type of thing. But in Lyndon Johnson's inauguration, I read that when the bishop or whoever they had come lead in prayer, that he went to the podium to lead in prayer, and something went wrong while he was there at the pulpit or podium or whatever there at the inauguration, and it caught fire. while he was up there praying. Now, I don't know. It'd be marvelous if we catch fire for the Lord Jesus Christ and be revived. That'd be. But I assume there was Secret Service guys there who took care of that and put out that fire. But it's always an exciting event. A new leader is coming to direct and to guide our country. January 20th, we're going to experience that again. Oh, the things that can be said. You know, the answer to our nation is not just in our vote. The answer to our nation is on our knees. And we as Christians, we do make a difference in heaven. We make a difference in heaven. Now, whether you think about it or not, or whether you believe it or not, you make a difference here too. But in heaven, we certainly make a difference. And that's where it counts. That's where it counts. So pray much. Not just for our own sake, but for the sake of our children and our grandchildren. Matthew chapter 3. Of all the inaugurations that I've seen on television, I've never witnessed one publicly. I certainly, you know, none of us have witnessed this inauguration in Matthew chapter 3. But this is the greatest of all. The great inauguration. Verse 13, then cometh Jesus from Galilee, Matthew chapter 3, verse 13, from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and lighting upon him. And a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Jesus arrived here on purpose. He arrived with an agenda. There was a reason why he came. He came and showed up saying, I have a purpose for being here today. He made his way through the crowd, and as he made his way through the crowd, the Gospel of John tells us, which, by the way, this event, the introduction of Jesus Christ and his ministry, is recorded in all four of the Gospels. And in John chapter 1, something is added that John the Baptist, as he saw Jesus making his way through the crowd and recognized him, he said, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John the Baptist understood the purpose. It was not that he was going to be the one, the deliverer from Roman rule. We had a greater deliverance that had to take place first, and that is the deliverance of our own sin. He had an agenda to publicly identify with the offenders. You see that verse 13? Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. Now John's baptism was that of repentance. Repentance from sin. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You know, John the Baptist thundered it. And people came from miles around to hear, and even the Romans knew about John the Baptist. He didn't care who you were. He called sin, sin. If you were a pauper or if you were a prince, if you were a common man or if you were a king, it didn't matter. And yes, it got him thrown in prison. But understand that Jesus himself said that there is none greater born of women than John the Baptist. May we stand with our Savior. May we stand with God. May we stand on His precious and holy word. And may we crave His favor and His compliment. He came with an agenda to publicly identify with offenders. That's why He was baptized. That's probably the most evident public reason that He was baptized. Because, you see, He had no sins to repent of. But he was saying, I'm with them. I'm with the sinners. I represent Adam. I represent the human race. That's what he was doing. He was putting on our uniform, as it were. Because We got up to the plate and we would strike out every time. Strike out every time. But you know, every once in a while, the coach says, "You, right here, come on. You're the designated hitter." And Jesus stepped into the plate and he hit the home run out of the park for our redemption and for our salvation. But first he had to identify with us. He had no sin to confess. He had nothing to repent of. And yet he identified as a sinner with us. He had an agenda to prevent interference from others. Look at verse 14. The Bible says, "But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. Comest thou to me?" There was some interference. Anytime, listen please, this will help us. Anytime that you try to do something for God, there's going to be some interference. And you'll be surprised where the interference is going to come from. It might come from the best of people. There might be some resistance from someone who walks with God. After all, John the Baptist was the one that Jesus said, you know, none greater born of women. I mean, he was a prophet of God. He was the forerunner of the Messiah. And yet, he was interfering with what Jesus had come to do. Sometimes we get in God's way. I found that to be true in my life. Shame on me. And God, in his kindness and in his patience, he does not want me to interfere with his plan. You ever, those of you who guys and ladies who've played basketball, you know, there's a little thing that players do where they box someone out. They box them out. And sometimes God has to box me out. And I want to do something, and I think it's the right thing to do, and I have good intentions, but it's not what he wants done. And so I try doing it this way, and I hit a brick wall. And I try doing it that way, and I hit a brick wall. And I try doing it this way, and I hit a brick wall. And I feel guilty because the thing I feel I should have done, I couldn't get done. Later on, God reveals to me, "Hey, boy, am I glad that I didn't do that, because it was not the thing to do. And God helped me." Sometimes we get in God's way. John the Baptist had best of intentions. He knew that Jesus didn't need to be baptized. And here comes the Son of God. And he's coming and stepping into the water to be baptized, and he's next. He said, "Oh no, please, baptize me." But you see, even John didn't realize all that was in the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said no. He had an agenda to patiently insist on obedience. Look at verse 15. "And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." What a powerful statement. Jesus came to fulfill all of the law, all that God had said, to the very nth degree. He was the complete and perfect sacrifice, the sinless Lamb of God. He did everything right, including this. You see, Jesus was about to enter into the office of prophet and priest and king. And this thought of priest, you'll find in Leviticus. You'll find that when a priest becomes 30 years of age, interesting, huh? When a priest is 30 years of age, that he can enter into the full service of the temple. And before that priest can enter into that office of priesthood, there's a ceremonial cleansing, of that priest. And so he, as our high priest, was fulfilling the Old Testament law, not at 15, not at 22. But isn't it interesting that Jesus is 30 years of age, exactly as the Old Testament says? He said, "Suffer it to be so for now, that I may fulfill all righteousness." So we see that he patiently insisted on obedience. I'm so thankful that God is patient with me. When he moves upon my heart and says, won't you give that gospel tract to somebody? And I argue sometimes with the Lord. I know you never do that. I know you never do that. Brother Don Shaw, I've heard that you've argued with God a time or two too, you know, and have to go back and say, I'm sorry, I should have said this to you before, you know, but here, God wants me to give this to you. Just be open and honest. People appreciate, and they sense honesty. They sense it. And why have some patter that you memorize and put on? Just be transparent with people. And be transparent with God. He patiently insists on obedience. Notice the words there. God insists. It's not to be voted on. Now, we vote on a lot of things. In a church, we vote. In a country, we vote. Maybe in your family, you vote. I don't know. But when it comes to God, we don't vote on whether or not we think what God wants is the right thing to do. He insists on obedience. Now, knowing our hearts, He patiently insists. As Pastor said, He's not a mean dictator, but He is Almighty God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Sovereign. And He does have the right to direct us and to tell us what to do, because it's for His glory and for our best. So Jesus arrived with an agenda. And then let's look, please, at verse 16. We'll see the audience in attendance. Would you look, please, at verse 16? The Bible says, "And Jesus, when He was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto Him. And He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon Him." The audience in attendance saw an honorable submission. They saw a humble heart. An honorable submission. Please, don't be offended when I say this. We have a baptistry up here not because we're Baptists. It's called a baptistry. It's a tub of water, okay? It's got a fancy name. Other people might call it some other names. You know what the people who come and fix it call it? They call it a spa. That's the people we call, you know, the people that do hot tubs and spas and all that kind of thing. It's just water, folks. It's just water. The reason why we have it here is to make it convenient for believers who come to church, a one-stop shop, that they can get saved and they can follow the Lord in believers' baptism as easily as possible. And yet there are people through every church across the country that have truly been saved, born again by the blood of Jesus Christ, but have not done what Jesus did with an honorable submission, following Him in obedience to Him as Jesus was in obedience to the Father, and they're afraid they're going to get their hair mussed up. They're afraid they might look silly. They're afraid somebody might chuckle at them, might do something wrong, and might be embarrassed, or whatever the case may be. Listen, folks. If there's one thing you can do in obedience to the Lord and do it right, and you don't have to do a thing, everything's done for you, when you stand before the Lord, why not at least have that punch on your spiritual card that you were obedient following the Lord in believer's baptism? I encourage you, and I encourage you with this exhortation. Your spiritual life will not be successful as it could be if you're disobedient in the first step. Now, I say that from experience. I was saved when I was real little, didn't get baptized till much later, and it seemed like that my spiritual life after I got baptized skyrocketed. Almost fell off. Skyrocketed. So please, if you've been saved and no one encouraged you, it's not the kind of thing you need to pray about. It's the kind of thing you need to act on. An honorable submission. And then look at the second part of the verse. Jesus, when He was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. Straightway out of the water. A heart of service. He didn't stand there and take a bow, you know, and yeah, oh yeah, and everybody applauds. You know, we applaud here. You know, I'm not saying that's wrong. When someone gets baptized, we want to encourage them. Way to go! Wonderful! That was the right thing to do. We're supporting you. That's what that sometimes means, you know? But he did not come for accolades. Jesus came to obey. And then when that was done, boy, he took out of the water. He was going to go get busy for God. All the way back to when he was 12 years of age. At 12 years of age in the temple, whenever Joseph and Mary came back looking for Jesus, he said, "Wist thou not that I must be about my father's business?" Even as a boy, that was his priority. As a child, now as a man, now the clock is starting. I believe that Jesus knew that he had 3.5 years. I believe he knew exactly what was going to take place. 3.5 years, had to get to work. His public ministry now has begun. A heart of service. Do you have a heart of service for the Lord? You know, some churches, people grace the pews of the church to be entertained. And whether or not they like the service is gauged by whether or not they enjoyed it or not. You know, whether or not they laughed, or whether or not the music was their kind and style of music, or whether or not the preacher, you know, kind of kept them engaged and enjoyed the sermon or not. And then when the bell rings and the church service is over, I've done my thing. God, you ought to be proud of me. I was in church this morning. Amen. Now the rest of my life is mine. There are people who really live their life that way. Do you have a heart of service? You see, out there is the ministry. Out there is the mission field. We come to get our food. We come to get our marching orders. We come to get bandaged up, you know. And then we go out to tell others that there is good news that's theirs for the taking. He had an honorable submission. They saw a heart of service. And then they saw something that no one had ever seen before. To my knowledge, they had never seen a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, I didn't say this, the Bible says that the heavens were opened unto him and he saw the Spirit of God descending, notice the word, like a dove. Now, it was not a bird. But if I had to describe it, Matthew is penning here, that if you had to describe it, it had the gracefulness of a dove, the innocence of a dove, the purity of a dove. And so sometimes, you know, we say, oh, wow, okay, so I'm going to have an image of a dove in my house. Reminds me of the Holy Spirit. Well, be careful about images, okay? Be careful about it. It didn't look like a dove, but it just... The only thing I could come close to describing is close to as a dove. But up until this point, I don't know in the Bible, maybe you can help me if there's something I missed. But this is a one and done thing of the Holy Spirit actually, you know, up until this point, a manifestation. Now it happened again in Acts chapter 2, a manifestation of fire. Symbolizing the anointing of the Holy Spirit. But here, the Holy Spirit came and rested upon him. Now, this thing of him being a prophet and priest and king, they were always anointed. They were anointed for service. You know, when we get saved, we are indwelt with the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God indwells us. And he will never leave us nor forsake us. The triune God, don't try to separate him. We cannot explain it any more than we can explain how that I'm body, soul, and spirit. Flesh, mind and will, emotions, and then a spiritual being. Body, soul, and spirit. But yet, I'm Mark Sears, all right? Now, The Holy Spirit anointed him for service, and he served in the power of the Spirit of God from that time forward. Jesus said that there is one thing that he did of his own accord, of his own power. He said, I lay down my life and I take it up again. Everything else that he did in the power of the Holy Spirit of God to prove that a human being who is filled with and controlled by and empowered by the Holy Spirit of God, that you can live as Jesus lived for 3.5 public years, that we can do it exactly the same way as he did, it's possible. And one day, he will remind us of that. When we say, I tried, Lord, but I just couldn't. He said, well, I set aside my right to my power as the second person of the Trinity. I set aside that to prove to you for 3.5 years that someone could live in the power of the Spirit of God as a human being. And I demonstrated it. They saw the Holy Spirit. Do people see God in the things that you say and the things that you do? We prayed for the families of those 20-plus people that were killed last night. There's great heartache, and that's a terrible thing to murder people. What in the world do people have doing out 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning partying and drinking and immorality and all that that's going on at that time of night anyway? Listen, please. Do people see God in the things that you do and the places you go, the people that you run with, your friends? Do they need to see God in you? This world is dying and craving for something that's real. And they saw it in Jesus Christ. They saw it in him. The audience in attendance, they saw an honorable submission, a heart of service, and they saw the Holy Spirit. And last, look at verse 17. The Bible says in verse 17, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, the announcement of approval was from the Heavenly Father. The announcement of approval was from God the Father. A voice from heaven saying, one day, wouldn't it be marvelous to be able to hear that same voice from heaven saying to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. We saw that happen when the first martyr, when Stephen, when he stood up and preached the truth, and preached righteousness. And the religiosity and the leaders of the Jews and all that, they took him out and they stoned him. And the Bible says that Jesus, who sat down at the right hand of the Father, when his redemption work was done, there is no chair for a priest to sit down in the temple because their work was never done. But when our Redeemer, when our Savior, whenever he entered back into heaven and redemption was completed, he sat down. And the Bible says there when Stephen, when he drew his last breath, he said these words, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. So he was seated, but then he stood. I don't know about you, but I was taught in school that when an adult came into the room, that, you know, I don't know if they do this anymore, I kind of doubt it, but when an adult entered the room of our class, we all got out of our desk and stood. It was an expression of respect. When I still feel that way, you know, I feel badly sometimes, because sometimes I'm doing something and someone slips up on me and things, but I might be... Brother Jim or somebody might come up and speak to me. I feel funny sitting there and they're standing there talking to me. I'll stand because he's my elder. when a lady gets up at the table, it used to be that gentlemen would stand if she left the table. It's a statement of respect. It's an understood kind of a thing. And when Stephen was entering his homeland, when he was walking in, Jesus stood up in respect of his service. Wow, that's an amazing thought. But that's what the Bible says. Approval was from the Heavenly Father. And the announcement of approval was for the following, for the hearing followers. They were, the voice was not for Jesus. If anyone would know that, that God the Father was in approval of Jesus Christ, it'd be the Lord Jesus. So it was not for Jesus' sake. It was for the sake of those around. And this is not the only time, the Mount of Transfiguration, the same statement was made. And then look at the end of the verse. It said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." You ever imagine Jesus as a little boy with clutching the robe of Mary? I mean, just little guy. You ever think about that? You ever think about as he was playing with the other children? You ever think about what it was like in his early years, helping Joseph in the carpenter shop? You ever think about what it was like as a teenage boy, as in his community there, in Nazareth, growing up? And then as a full-grown man, other people getting married, and he's focused on his Father's business. And all the way through, 30 years of age, and now at this inauguration, entering his public ministry, God the Father, in essence, clears his throat. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Talk about a stamp of approval. It was a great inauguration. The Bible says that God the Father has given all judgment unto the Son. One day, the one who died for us on the cross, the one who rose again the third day, the one who took his own precious blood and put it upon the mercy seat as the payment, as the atonement for our iniquity, that person, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is one day going to stand in judgment. And we're going to stand before him either at the judgment seat of Christ as Christians. And yes, that is a time of reward. It's a time of enlightenment too. There'll be a lot of these statements made by us. "Oh, I wish I would have. I wish I would have done this. I wish I would have gotten saved sooner. I wish I'd have served more fervently. I wish I'd been more faithful. I wish I would have. I wish I would have. I wish I would have." Be a lot of that going on. But there's another judgment coming called the Great White Throne Judgment, and Jesus is going to be the judge at that judgment as well. And that'll be judgment of the lost. And the judgment will be simply to prove the guilt of each person. Say, "Well, I'm guilty too." Yeah, I am. I am too, as far as I'm concerned. But have you ever gone to the Lord and confessed something that you've done as a believer for a thought of bitterness, for an attitude of pride, for a thoughtless word, whatever it may be? And you confess that and make that right, and then perhaps later on you remember something about it and you say, "Now, Lord, that sin that I confess, I really, he'll say, "What sin are you talking about?" You see, the payment for the sin was under the blood of Calvary, that Jesus already paid for our debt. Provided that there was a time that you put your faith and trust in him, asking for that payment to be applied to you. Oh, Brother Mark, I'm glad you mentioned that. 4 years ago, I joined Volusia County Baptist Church. Oh, that's great. We're glad to have you, but are you saved? Oh, yeah. I remember, you know, I was about 9 years old. I got baptized. I mean, you know, not sprinkled. I mean, I got the whole thing. Boom. Great. That's wonderful. Glad you got baptized. When did you get saved? See, when were you born into God's family? Please understand, I told the choir this morning, I said, what if the rapture takes place this afternoon, and today, this morning, is the last time you get to sing for the Lord Jesus? Give Him your all today. Well, what if the rapture did happen this afternoon? And everybody that you know at church is gone. And you were left behind because you were too embarrassed to say, you know, somehow I missed it. Somebody didn't explain something right to me, and I've been kind of faking it all the way up through. But I'm not going to spend eternity in a devil's hell for anybody. I'm going to get this settled. It could be the inauguration of a new life today for you. Would you bow your heads with Him, please? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. No one's looking. Jesus Christ left heaven and He identified with us as sinners so that we could be saved. I wonder who would say, Brother Mark, I don't deserve to go to heaven, but I did ask Jesus Christ to save my soul and forgive my sins. I asked Him to come into my heart and life and to be my Savior. I may not know the exact date, but I can take you back in my mind. I remember when I was born again into the family of God. If you say, that's my testimony, Brother Mark, would you slip your hand up and just hold it for a second, take it back down. Yes, God bless you. I saw many hands, but I couldn't see everyone. I wonder if there's someone in here who would say, Brother Mark, I may have joined a church. I may have been baptized. I may go to Sunday school, and I may do everything that I can do, but this thing of being born again, repenting of my sins, God won't leave me alone about this. Somehow I may have missed that. If I die right now or the rapture takes place, I do not have that settled in my heart and life. I do not know for sure that I'm saved. I'm embarrassed about that, but I don't want to spend eternity in hell. I want to get that settled before it's too late. I won't point you out. I won't come to you, but I will pray with you. If you say, Brother Mark, pray for me about that. I need to settle it before it's too late. Slip your hand up, would you please? Let me pray with you. I don't know that I'm saved. I'm trying to do what's right, but I just don't know. Would you slip your hand up? Just an honest heart before God. Is there one? Well, I take it that everybody in here, hopefully, knows Christ as their personal Savior. Praise God. Then let me say this. There's nothing hindering you from being baptized today, right now. Right now, we've got something for you to put on. We've got a hair dryer. We've got towels. The water's warm. There ought to be some people here that have been saved. If you've not been baptized, you ought to take that step of obedience like Jesus did and say, I want to be baptized. There might be someone in here this morning who perhaps you've been a consumer Christian and you have not had a heart of service like you should have. Why not bow the knee and humble your heart and say, Lord, here am I. Send me. I don't know what you want me to do. I'm not sure. I'm volunteering for service. I want you to use me in a greater way. I want my life to count. When we stand and sing in just a moment, I invite you to come. I invite you to tell God. Say, Lord, I'm yours to control. He will lead you in the best possible way. He will give you a life of adventure and a life of peace. He knows what's best. Let's stand to our feet, please. Heavenly Father, in a moment, Lord, your invitation to your people is to that of obedience and service, to join the ranks of those that have heard the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Help us to follow the example of our Savior now. Thank you for His perfect pattern. In Jesus' name. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. They're going to play the song. Won't you come and let Him have His way in your heart, your life? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. This is a private moment between you and God. If you've not been baptized, won't you settle that here today? Maybe you need to join the church. Maybe that's something that you say, I've been saved and baptized, but we've been talking about this. I know Pastor would love to know that God has moved upon your heart to be an official member of this church and officially get involved. Maybe you just want to surrender yourself in a greater way to serve Him. While we wait just a moment, we'll sing one verse. Just obey God's call as we sing.
Have thine own way.
Others are coming. How about you? Don't wait on someone else. Be a leader for Jesus Christ.
And make me after.
While I'm waiting, yielded and still. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for the perfect example in every way. Lord, thank you for this little picture that we saw of the beginning of your public ministry. Help us now to apply the truth of humility and submission and service. And Lord, one day to crave your commendation. May we go with your blessing this afternoon. And tonight we ask that you'd meet with us once again. The music, may it be glorifying unto you. And Lord, may the word of God be a blessing and a challenge to our heart. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'll leave you with this. What if someone asked you this question? All right. As a Christian, it's okay to drink a little alcohol, as long as you don't get drunk. Because after all, Jesus turned water into wine. Would you know how to answer that? Would you know how to answer it? I hope that you'll come back tonight. I hope that it'll be a blessing from God's word and be a blessing to each and every heart. God bless you. Have a great afternoon. Amen. Thank you so very much for watching, and we hope that the Word of God was a blessing. I ask you now that if you would, please just check in and let us know that you received the live stream. Pray much about tonight's church service and for Pastor as he's continuing to lead the Voices of Victory. We look forward to next Sunday and the concert and all that God has in store for us, hearing of God's blessings and the folks that receive Christ as their Savior, I'm sure, as a result of their ministry. Pray about the upcoming God and Country Day and about the live stream scribe event. And perhaps you could be involved in this there wherever you live by opening up your doors, something that you're already doing, receiving our live stream already. And so let us know if we can be a help with that and be a blessing to you. Perhaps we can get you some materials as well, the materials that we give out to our people that we're going to be giving them when that time rolls around. So God bless you. We hope to see you again tonight, 6 o'clock. Have a good afternoon.